Just allowing your eyes to close and be comfortable. Just not doing anything. And if you're graced with the feeling of a silence that is alive, just simply offering whatever wants to take you away, any thought or any feeling, you just offer it to the silence. Feed the silence with your experience, moment by moment. But only when the experience takes you away, because otherwise, there's no need to do anything. And in fact, if experience does take you away, don't worry about it. All is well. We're together in the shrine. If your mind takes off on a spin, it's not a problem. At some point, there may be a surrendering of the thoughts into the openness or the silence. not out of any spiritual obligation or virtue, just because. Because you've fallen in love, you've fallen back in love with your true self. Which is this silence. It has other words. Or rather, it has other names, but it is your true love. And allow the feelings in the body to recognize that their true love, in a way, is also this openness. So rather than a feeling, a tension, an agitation, or whatever, rather than constellating more layers to form the sort of habitual separate self, let the feeling sort of surrender itself back into the sea of spaciousness that surrounds it. Experiences are raw and free of the past in this context, free of the future. So the only reference is the openness. Whatever the experience may be, the thought, the feeling, the sound of this voice, even the words that are spoken, let them arise, echo, and dissolve. In this silence, so the words that are spoken, you know, just let them go along with the breath. Maybe we could describe these meetings as the art of dying. The art of returning home. Which, of course, we are always home. Nevertheless, experience rises out of home to take a shape. And it has a trajectory experience. It rises out of this formlessness, the sound of this voice. And then it, like a wave, it returns. Its trajectory is to return, meaning to merge back with the uncreated. Don't think about it too much. And some experience don't quite want to dissolve, or they don't seem to want to dissolve. They linger, they're here chronically, there's very familiar sense, for example, of a body that is me right this moment for each one of us. But again, if you don't label that familiar feeling of me, the body, and you're just with a raw experience, it can be good, it can come back to life. The labels crystallize the body as a sort of tactile belief. It sort of gets fossilized. So we walk around with a sort of cohesive feeling that seems to never go away, and we maintain it through all sorts of unconscious, sort of subtle habits. Because the mind is constantly referring to the past, to me in the past and me in the future, and that ping-pongs with a whole set of sort of bodily habits. And of course, you know, we see ourselves in the mirror, and we, our friends validate. And it's totally normal, human, natural, that. No need to get rid of any of that in the outside the shrine, in the play of our human lives. But here in the shrine, we can sort of, it's not that we can, we do, we suspend this timeline. The past and the future get folded back into the now. And therefore, experiences lose their labels. In the now, a feeling that may be labeled, I don't know, lack or fear or anxiety or hope or whatever. In the now, such a label simply isn't here. And all we are left with is the raw, tactile thing, non-thing, it's not a thing, flow. Enjoy the flow of experience. But even that I shouldn't say, because that immediately creates someone who needs to enjoy the flow, right? I take that back. Welcoming the body, the feeling of the body. What is the substance of the body in the now? What is the substance of the breath in the now? Don't answer with your head. Go to the direct experience. Of the breath, let the breath tell you about itself in its own language. For the pleasure of simply being itself, the breath, the air through the nostrils. Temperature. Feel the breath in the abdomen with the in-breath, the inflation of the belly, swelling of the belly. Let it speak. In its tactile language, even though I translate into words because I have to speak a bit to guide us, really let my words dissolve and let the body's language unfold. Textures, temperatures, no right or wrong, no pleasant or unpleasant. The in-breath, the pause, the out-breath. And of course, the openness that surrounds the movement of the breath, the sound of this voice. Let the body taste the openness, just like the sound of this voice naturally recognizes that it comes out of the openness, that its vibration is saturated with the openness. Even the words, even the meaning, the fact of language imbued with the understanding of its source. So it's the same with the breath. There's not a body breathing, there is an openness breathing. There's borderlessness in which the ripple of the breath unfolds, whereas usually we feel that the breather is somewhat limited, constricted, and needs to channel the breath, control the breath. But now just let breathing free in openness. And of course, allow all the tensions that live embedded in the breath free in openness. It doesn't have to be perfect right away or ever. Let all the little creatures of imperfection, tension, pain, contortion of the separate self on a tactile level embedded in the breath, that if we were to read the labels, we would have a whole drama. But here we don't. We just allow these little creatures, these tactile creatures to surface. Hello is what the openness whispers to whatever surfaces. You are welcome. Come, merge into the openness. Swim like fish in the ocean. That's what you say to the bodily sensations, tensions, breath, sound of this voice. Come, swim, fish, in the borderless aquarium. Feel the weight of the body, and rather than holding it as we habitually do on behalf of the separate one, surrender the weight into the aquarium. You have no visual, no memory of the body, you have no idea, so just let gravity do its thing. The legs, the hips, the pelvis, the arms, the shoulders, the hands, the fingers. Tasting the texture and quality of the ground on which the body is settled. And again, no judging, just tasting. Is it hard? Is it soft? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is it humid? Is it dry? Is it moving? Then after a while, let those words go. They're way too much. But if the ground or the chair is hard, that's a projection of the mind, projection of habit. Really let yourself feel the ground soft. Take your time. This is, even though we are in the now, it's not that you take your time, it's that you let the body release the time that it holds. The body, the memory of separation is time bound. It's got to do with time, and I don't ask me to explain that, but somehow that's what's coming. But so it's more like you let, when I say surrender the weight of the legs, I don't know, it's like time needs to recognize this timelessness. It's like you take the body and the all that tension, which is to do with time, and you bathe it in timelessness. And feel, sometimes move away from feeling the body too close up because it can become too intense. Just feel the emptiness or openness beyond the body. Let the body sort of be free floating in this borderlessness, just like the planets, when seen at a distance, are just hanging in the vastness. Let your body do micro movements without opening your eyes, without having an idea of what kind of movements. Just let your body be like a sort of current of sensations, and then there's another current somewhere, invisible current that moves this current, and you just allow it fully. Don't be shy. That can be a big movement. Try to sort of invite the whole body as if it were just one, and it is one global sensation that can be moved by this invisible current. So even though you may be sitting, your legs, your arms, your spine, your head, your face, even your shoulders, all the articulations of the body, the breath. I don't live in the body. I am that field in which this body is rippling. Not much thinking going on, but of course it doesn't have to be perfect, because in a way we are moving the body. So give yourself permission to sort of move in and out of being the mover, and then sort of feeling like movement is appearing in openness. I am the openness. And then the next moment it's like, nope, I'm a body that's stretching, and I'm giving myself permission to be this body, this person that's stretching. And you just go for it, go for it. And then again, I am this borderlessness in which these ripples, and try to include your head. And, you know, maybe some of you have even stood up. You're welcome to stand up, but even if you're sitting, well, see if you can include your hips. It's possible to move your hips when you're sitting. Your fingers. Let the currents take your body in unexpected ways. So maybe, I don't, you know, in my case, maybe your shoulders are going to come up, and maybe this and maybe that. The breath is free, and the sensation of the movement, let it smooth, let it be smooth, let it be sort of permeated with ease. And yes, and now very, very slowly, without directing it, you're the openness, the stillness, and you let the body slowly fold itself back in you. The arms, the spine, the shoulders, the head, it's all one seamless dissolving back. The hands finding a place all on their own, like they know. Your shoulders dropping, they know, dropping. The chin finding the correct home base. The legs sinking. Feel your whole body . It may not be completely at ease or comfortable, but feel that it's sort of making friends again with its true habitat. The breath as well. Feel your throat. Your jaw. Whatever tension may be held there, these are big centers for speech, for emotions that may be held, swallowed. Just feel whatever is feeling there, whatever it feels like there in your throat, and then into your jaw, your mouth, your teeth. Hello, you say, without any labeling, when you don't mind. You don't need to know, because you don't need to protect yourself. You know, that's the who are you is the habit of that one who needs to know who are you, because are you a friend or are you an enemy? But here, with the sensation in the throat, in the mouth, it's just hello. I know who you are, or what you are. You are me. And then pick another sort of center, a loaded center, shall we say, for example, in the solar plexus, that place right at the, I don't know what to call it, that sort of mid torso. And you can put your finger there. It's where the diaphragm is. It's a very intense place for some of us. Again, just tasting that area for no other reason than to let it know it is welcome. So it's more like you indicate to this area, look, you're surrounded with friendliness, openness. And the breath is always there to help. It's the ambassador to the openness, between the openness and the feeling, so that the in-breath is bringing goodies to the feeling, bringing healing, openness, a taste. And then the exhale is sort of like, okay, let's go, off we go into the openness. In breath, out breath. And just allow yourself to roam around your experience, your tactile experience, and give some loving kindness to localizations where there's a creature that needs a bit of that, a tactile creature. But you have no agenda or demand, so you go. Maybe it's in the head area, in the forehead, or in the shoulders. You go, you sort of sit there with a feeling, tasting it, communing with it. It's like we're melting that me, the personal, separate body feeling. We're relaxed, we're sitting there saying, you know what, you can melt a bit. You don't have to disappear, but you can come back to life. You can you can taste something a bit more alive, a bit more open, a bit more friendly, a bit less predictable. Life dances, so it follows that our experience dances too, because our experience is life. And now again, let the body move. This time, maybe pick one of those centers where there may be some feeling, some intensity, and go to to that feeling, and then let the movement sort of rise from there. If you can do, again, nothing is imposed, just see what happens. And the whole body is invited in, but it's as if that localization, whether it be the solar plexus, the throat, the head, that density, that constriction, that suffering is allowed to sort of be the genesis of the movement. There's absolutely no right or wrong. And you may find that your hands and your arms, and especially your hands, can somehow caress in a subtle way, or comb, or spread open, or thread out or unfold the energy that has forgotten. But again, don't let my words direct you. See what happens. Be surprised. The breath might make sounds. Let it all sort of be, forget all the words now of where it's coming from or what's it's doing. Just let something raw be expressed through the movement. A sort of dance of healing, and to do with the feelings stored in the body and the openness that is all around. Trusting qualities such as gentleness, kindness, but also intensity, wilderness, expression. What if your face wants to smile? Or maybe a sound wants to come? Or maybe a gesture arises out of nowhere with the hands. There's really, you know, it's creativity in motion. There's, my words are going to be suggestive, and that's fine. And sometimes I'm in the body as a body, and sometimes I'm the openness in which the body unfolds. And sometimes I have no idea, and I don't really care what, where, who. Yes, and again now, feeling yourself to be the placeless place into which the body slowly, slowly dissolves. In these explorations, we become very sensitive to micro non-events. Not much is happening necessarily. Like right now, the body, the physical body is not moving, but the shoulders are still releasing. The hands are still releasing. We become very, very sensitive to not much, to these micro experiences. For no reason. For the, yes, maybe there's a reason. The reason it's for the art of listening. The art of dying and the art of listening. The art of dying in listening. Let the borders, the edges of the body, well, ask yourself, what do they want to do? Where are they, the edges of the body? Can I allow them to open, fuzzy up? Again, you can allow the breath to help. Visualize, feel that the pores of the skin are relaxing and opening rather than closing and defending. The pores of the skin are opening to the friendliness beyond. And the breath is being breathed through all the pores of the skin. Without any effort. Just feel the totality of the surface of the body relaxing, opening. And the breath permeating. Blending the inside and the outside. Homogenizing, you know what I'm trying to say. The breath does that with everything, it brings everything back together. Letting the edges, what we feel as the edges of the body, relax, maybe expand into the space all around. You might feel that with your hands to begin with. Feel the habitual feeling of your hands, the palms, the fingers, tingling. The tops of the hands. Don't see them, just feel them, the space between the fingers. Feel Feel as if you were slaloming on skis between the fingers. The fingernails. Now feel the hands as a global, tactile. Experience and let them dilate into the openness. Let them expand. Just naturally, in fact, you don't do it, you just sort of see that they are expanded. Big tactile gloves. And then you could apply that feeling from the hands to the whole body. Your whole body is a hand. Whole front of the body like a palm, very, very sensitive. Well, actually, palms are a little quite coarse, but they're very sensitive, aren't they? So feel your whole, well, forget that. Just feel your whole body like a hand, like the, and then let it expand into the space that surrounds it naturally. The breath is helping. And if we encounter resistance, holding back, that is so welcome. Don't fight with that. Don't resist the resistance. Of course, if there's resistance to the resistance, so be it too. All is well, but resistance is just a sensation floating in the middle of the openness. Feel that the border, the body has no borders, in fact. Your body is borderless. With little islands of sensations floating here and there. Just give yourself over to that possibility with your tactile sense. What comes in the way is fear. If I let go, I will die. Yes, you will. That is, that one who feels him, herself bound to a body. Who thinks he or she is in control. Just take the leap anyway, into the openness. Into the openness, to the openness. You can't really leap into what you are, but you sort of leap as an act of openness. You're open to the possibility of this openness. That's the very best you can do. And you're also compassionate towards the impossibility, towards the openness, which is here in the form of fear, contraction, all sorts. And because we're not reading the labels, it's fine, it's okay. Now, don't do anything, don't think about anything in particular. Let yourself be graced. Which is you, so let yourself be graced by you. And if it doesn't feel like you, even better, let yourself be graced by this love. Take a 5-minute little break and come back. Go gently. Stephen, yes. Where are you? There you are.
Yes, I'm here.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again. You know, my question today is a familiar crystallization that I feel like I experience in my body that's difficult to fully feel and release is a feeling of persistent fatigue. It feels like an ache. And I just noticed, so my mind tends to want to interpret that or look for a reason, which I'm making an effort to let go of.
Are you aware of this fatigue only in the yoga or in everyday life? Or
every day. So it's every day. And I'm wanting to, you know, work with it in some way. I know that I want to be open to it, and that rather than have the mind come in, I want to feel and just be open and express. And I do feel like that's to some extent helpful. I'm just wondering if there's, when something feels so
chronic,
it's a bit discouraging.
It's hard, yeah. No, I can understand. Yeah. What's hard is to not have that agenda of it going away or relaxing or releasing what it may be holding. There are all sorts of ideas we may have about this chronic fatigue sort of ache. And so it's not only the ache that's problematic, but it's all the beliefs and agendas and, you know, all the other resistances that arise around it. And of course, I don't really know what to suggest other than what I suggest in our experientials, which is to, you know, to not have to welcome all the resistance and to welcome it, and maybe not to get too close to it, but to, in this case, when it's a chronic ache, you don't want to sort of zoom in on it, because then it sort of creates more tension. So it would be more about replacing this ache within something that is free of ache, which is, you know, the space beyond, and the silence, the kindness, the quality of comfort that is around. And also maybe you may be feeling in other places in your body, places that are not achy. There are probably places in your body that are transparent and free of ache. And so you might want to sort of go get a bucket of free of ache and bring it, you know, that you can play with visualizations like that, and also wonder if there's deeper feelings living in that thing. Sometimes a chronic pain can be psychosomatic, there can be, but I don't know if that's the case or if it's just something, you know, physiological in your case. But I would just, really, it's more about kindness in this case, but kindness can take different forms. You can explore in different ways.
Well, that's helpful, Ellen.
Sorry, one last sentence. Don't make your happiness dependent on a happy body. Easier said than done, but, you know, bodies are very rarely happy. There's little moments of happiness, but if we wait for that, we're gonna
be... wait a long time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, because I do feel like there's something almost habitual about it, mm-hmm. and part of it might be the way that I'm focusing on the fatigue. And feeling that my mission is somehow to keep feeling it. And that may just reinforce it. I like the idea of taking my attention to the field and to those parts of my body that don't feel. Because it's true. There's parts that don't. The tip of my nose doesn't, you know.
It's like, just bring your attention to the tip of your nose. And there are probably times in the day where you don't feel the fatigue because your attention is elsewhere.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe gently ignore benevolent indifference, as Francis Lucille says. Just okay, fatigue. Yep, okay. We know you're here, but
No, thank you. That was helpful.
Good luck with it, Stephen.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank Amber. I have had, maybe because of the side effects of some kind of medicine, but also it can be inherited, like a suicidal thinking for a while. And it was so wonderful to die today. Taking the time away and so sweet to die in timeless. So, and giving that, showing that to my mind. That it doesn't have to. That this is how it looks, that it doesn't have to get rid of my body, that it can be still here. And much more beautiful death. But anyway, it has been like a dark night of soul for a while.
Well, that's.
That happens.
I'm glad you mentioned Ambra, who's hopefully behind her, with us still. And
That she's not alone with hard times. Even my father is not alive anymore, but same issues.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're not just the two of you. I mean,
But thank you. It was beautiful meditation.
Thank you for sharing, Hilka. And Butterfly says, I'm here. Thankfully, I don't have suicidal thoughts. Thanks, dear. Yes, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if you're aware, but quite a few of us who are here today are here because of Hilka's influence. We've been meeting on Mondays. We have a WhatsApp group. And Hilka, despite a year of just lots of challenges, has been an incredible support to a whole group of us. I mean, I know that I'm speaking for probably 20 people in the group. And we have so much gratitude for her that and whenever we hear that she's hurting, it's just like, oh, you know, because even while she's been hurting, she has been doing so much for so many of us. And so I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't sure if you were aware that we're little Hilka followers.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know in this way. I'm so happy you're sharing it with the group. That's so sweet. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for piping out, piping up. And yeah. Thank you, Teresa, and thank you, Hilda.
Yeah.
It's quite a little community, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have another meeting that you do, or Zoom, Facebook, or a bit of both? Or?
Yeah, it started, almost a year ago, maybe 8 months ago. I don't know if you know Timo from the Netherlands.
Yes, sure.
He started a WhatsApp group after one of Rupert's retreats. Okay. And a number of us joined, and then we just started to talk. And the more we talked, the more on the WhatsApp group, the more we realized we wanted to meet. And so then I think it was you originally, you set up a meeting on Mondays, and we started meeting there. And a lot of us, you know, had questions about the body in particular, the practice. And through Hilke, we learned about this meeting with you. And she has also answered a lot of our questions, especially about uncomfortable, you know, I know for myself, a lot of really uncomfortable physical things that have come up. But the whole group has just been so incredibly supportive.
And how do people find out about it? I mean, I guess, you know what, I'll, Hilke, will you send me whatever links, or, and then, because maybe some of people who are not in the group might want to join.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big tribe, small tribe.
Yeah. Small but mighty.
Exactly. Small but mighty. That's right. Oh, it's a lot of emotion. It's emotional tonight in the loveliest of ways. It's real, you know. Sometimes these non-dual meetings can be a little bit sort of, we don't get in the waters together, but Butterfly Ombre and I had this, and it sort of ushered in something important, I think. Hearing a funny little squeaky noise. A little mousy.
I think it might be at my house. I've got a bird feeder right outside the window and some woodpeckers that are upset about something. So
thank you, Teresa.
Maybe this is a good place to part ways for now. Thank you all, and thank you, Ombre and Hilke and Teresa and Stephen and everybody. No meeting next Tuesday, but in 2 weeks. Yes, bye dear, says Butterfly. Okay, take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's so nice to be here with everybody.
Bye, Annie.
Bye, Annie.